And we'll be taking up pretty much where we left off last week, because I think it's important. We're taking scripture from Luke 24, 1 through 12, and then 36 through 43. And the title of the message is, What a Morning. And it's so true that there's never been a morning like that before or since, and never will be. The word says that it was the first day of the week, which we know is Sunday, very early. And there was three women that was on their way to the tomb to prepare the body or finish preparing the body of Jesus, and they had spices with them. When they got there, the stone had been rolled away. They went in and looked, and the body of Christ was gone. While they were wondering about that, there was two angels that appeared to them, said, Why are you here looking for the living among the dead? They would have turned that around and they would have said, We're looking for the dead among the living. But these angels so startled them that they realized what they were saying. And the angel continued and said, He's not here. He's gone. He rose. He's alive. The Son of Man, He told you, was going to be delivered into the hands of men, and that He was going to be crucified, but that He would rise again the third day. They remembered then. When they got back to the upper room where the disciples were locked inside out of fear, because they felt like the same thing that happened to Jesus was going to happen to them, and that they could be arrested at any moment. And this brought fear into their lives. So they went in to the 11 and they began to tell what the angels had said and what they had seen. Mary Magdalene and Joanna and the mother of James, Mary. The apostles didn't believe. They had seen Him die. They had heard all the things that took place. But while they were talking about all of this, and then they sat down to eat breakfast, and suddenly Jesus was standing right in their midst. And taking up at verse 36, it says, While they were still talking about this, Jesus Himself stood among them and said to them, Peace be unto you. They were startled and they were frightened because they thought He was a ghost. And He said to them, Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise up in your mind? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Touch me. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see. And when He had said this, He showed His hands and feet. And while they still did not believe because of all the joy and amazement, it was just too good to be true. Jesus said, Got anything to eat? Isn't that neat? Because He hadn't eaten in 3 days. You got anything to eat? They gave Him a piece of broiled fish, and He took it, and He ate it in their presence. That's neat. I love that. I'm glad the Holy Spirit put that in. He puts things in for a reason. Can you just imagine the beauty of that morning? Can you imagine as they were walking? I know that they didn't pay much attention to it, but it was one of those majestic sunrises. It had to be. There was no gloom and doom. Earth, the universe itself, was full of joy because they knew, it knew, whatever, that Jesus had risen and that he was alive. He didn't stay dead, locked in a tomb. No mourning could compare to that. So we look at great mournings, and sometimes we marvel. And when we do so, there's solemn reflections that are involved, and that's what we covered first last week. And the morning dawned, that majestic time. And Jesus had left the tomb. He took time to fold the napkin that was around his head. And the women got to the tomb. They saw all of this. They saw that the tomb was empty. The stone had been rolled away. The wrappings that he was covered with were laying there on the slab. The men were trembling with fear. Jesus said, "Strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter." They had believed that he was the Messiah. They put faith in him that he was going to set up his kingdom. But now he's dead. That's all that they can think about. It was a sad day for his followers. They reasoned, if Jesus is dead, then we're all headed for hell and we have no hope. These are startling revelations. And that was point two. They were hurting in their heart, and God did so many things to minister to them in that scene that we've just talked about. I am so glad that God cares that we're hurting. Just like this morning, those of you who had needs, those of you who might have been hurting, as you stood, God cares about you. Those that are listening online, God cares about you. When something's going on in your life, he's aware of it. And he will move to relieve and to bless. He knew that the women were coming, so he had the stone rolled away. Did Jesus have to have the stone rolled away for him to leave the tomb? No, he could have walked through that covering of the door anytime. He didn't need it moved. He could walk through walls. But it was for the others that would be coming. The women and then Peter and John that ran to the tomb. That's what it was for, so that they could see. He sent angelic messengers. Could he not have just dropped it into their mind or their heart? Yes, but he sent angels so that they would be able to know for sure. It was a part of his ministry to the pain of their heart. He even left words of encouragement for Peter, because when the angels were talking to the three women, he says, be sure to tell Peter that Jesus wants to see him in Galilee. He had met Mary Magdalene outside the tomb and talked with her. And she says, Rabboni, Rabbi, teacher, and bowed. And he left a message in the tomb. He folded the napkin. And I went through the story. That means that whoever folded the napkin will be right back. He won't be gone long. If it was just wadded up and thrown down, then that means I'm finished. I'm not coming back. So Jesus took time to fold and leave a message. I will be right back. I won't be gone long. He revealed himself to other disciples that were not locked in the room. On the road to Emmaus, he showed himself. He sat down to eat with them. And when he blessed the food, suddenly they were aware. I know. And he was gone. But they recognized him. And they said, man, didn't our hearts burn? It always does. There were stunning revelations that took place. Jesus showed up and he showed himself and he said, touch me and see. And he sat down to eat with them. He was saying to all those apostles, no need to fear. See, let's sit down and eat. Let's enjoy one another. The one who had been dead just 3 days before was standing in their midst, and now he was eating with them. They became aware whenever they saw him break the food and take a bite. They became aware he's here. He is risen. He's alive. Because ghosts don't eat. Ghosts do not eat. And Jesus was eating with those on the road to Emmaus and now with those behind closed doors. There was an awareness. He's real. Jesus is real. And he's here. That's what needs to happen in the world today. People need to see that he's alive, that he cares, and that he's among us, and that he's real. There's so many that think he's nothing but a fairy tale. He's a character in an old dusty book called the Bible. And he's one of the main characters, and he's a hero. Yay for the hero. But that's all it is. He's fictitious. They need to see that he's real. That he can meet needs and he can change lives. He can take that old broken past and mold it into something this beautiful for a future. I remember what my past was like. And Jesus made all things new. That's one of the greatest scriptures to me. Behold, all things become new. Those mistakes those vicious sins. God, wipe them clean by the blood of Jesus in my life. People need to see that He'll do it in their lives. You see, just knowing about Jesus is not enough. You have to know Him. You have to have a relationship with Him. I asked Him into my heart, and He became my Lord and my Savior. I have to face a question. You have to face a question. I faced it then. I still have to face it today. It was a question that He posed to His disciples. Who am I? As far as you're concerned, who is Jesus to you this morning? Is He a risen Savior? And He's in the world today. And I know that He is living, no matter what men may say. Is that who Jesus is to you? And then there was the question that Pilate asked. What am I to do with Him? What are you doing with Jesus today? What are you doing with Jesus? Are you just pushing Him to the side and say, wait over there, I'll call you when I need you? Or does He live in your heart? And do you serve Him every day? What are you doing with Jesus? If He's somebody important to you, if you know that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God, the risen Lord, if you know that, what are you doing with Him? Are you letting Him lead you? We all have to answer that, because there are spiritual repercussions. And I know that I'm out of time, but I'm going to take 5 more minutes if you'll allow me. If you'll give me 5 minutes, I'll take another 15 and we'll be happy. Those spiritual repercussions took place because of His crucifixion and rising from the dead. As they ate on that first resurrection morning, Jesus began to tell them what God's plan was in all of that. You see, when Jesus rose from the dead, the Father was witnessing to all of mankind, to all of the world, who Jesus really was. And His plan was to save the world. He wanted every man, woman, and child to have a way to come to Him. But more than that happened. When Jesus rose from the dead, there were some old enemies that had plagued man since the garden. And they were defeated that day. Totally defeated. The first was death. Can you imagine the struggle that ensued in the depths of the earth on that first Sunday morning? When death had to loose its grip on the Prince of Life. And Jesus took death captive. And He said, you'll no longer reign. It's my reign now. And Jesus entered death's domain and rendered it totally helpless. Death has no hold anymore. And we can look at death differently. It's not a hole in the ground. It's a door to heaven. And when we who belong to Him pass through that door, we're in heaven. And that's all it is. Doorway. Because of what He did on that first Sunday. Hell itself suddenly changed. Because Jesus entered death for mankind and He descended, the Bible says, into hell. And while He was there in paradise, part of it, He preached to the dead. The thief on the cross was standing there listening. And Jesus went down there, proclaimed liberty to every person that was in that place. And then He said, come on, boys, time to go. And He busted those gates. And He took captivity captive and took them to heaven and presented them to the Father. The grave had to change that day. That enemy that so many have dreaded. That hole in the ground that nobody looked forward to. When Jesus rose from the dead, or when He enters our heart, suddenly it becomes nothing more than a storage place for this old body of flesh. I'll be reunited, whether it's from ashes or whether it's from the depths of the sea or whether it's from a grave. That body's going to rise. And we're going to see the change. And we're going to experience the change because we're going to be reunited and caught up to Him in the air. Hallelujah. I've dreamed of it. I've seen it in my heart. Millions upon millions of us going skyward, and He's there calling us all. Something else that had to change was sin. That enemy of our heart. Jesus changed us forever because of that resurrection. We now have total forgiveness. We have that promise of the Father, that when we go to Him in repentance and we fall before Him and say, forgive me. From our heart, Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore He is able to save completely those who come to Him or come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for us. And Jesus says to the Father, that's one of mine. And the Father says, I forgive you. And Jesus says, I forgive you. That big verse with the promise in it is to everyone who will believe the message that He's alive and I'm forgiven. Jesus won the victory over sin while He was nailed on the cross. And then the Father said amen to it when He rose from the dead. Oh, Satan, he and his kingdom and his authority were broken that day when Jesus bowed His head and said, it is finished. and they put him in the grave. And then he says, I have risen. And he was alive. And Satan heard the foundations of his kingdom as they cracked. As Jesus stepped forth from the grave victorious. It was finished on the cross. He won the battle. But then he put the period and the exclamation point on it when he rose from the dead. That's what we celebrate at Easter. That's what we shout about on that first day of the week when we celebrate. Oh, there's so much more that I would like to say, but I'm totally out of time. And I took 3 minutes more than I asked for. Thank you for being gracious. Bow your heads with me, would you please?